You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just won't quit, and Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh.
They're the LSD.
They don't do it for free.
While you're living your life, they're watching TV.
They're the LSD.
They do it for you.
Watching, and soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 22 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and this is the podcast where we rate the players every single week from 1 to 10 based on how well they're doing in the game. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong. Once again, joining me this week is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited for this triple eviction coming up. I kind of wish it was already happening, and I wish there was even more people being evicted. But, you know, this is going to be the last week we rank three of the players, so kind of interesting.
True. Very true. Yeah.
Well, it's always funny after the double when all of a sudden it just seems like it's like it gets the list gets small, and now it's going to be even smaller. So, yay for us.
Very true. All right. Also with me today is Brent. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. For those of you who are watching on the video version of this podcast, I am traveling. I'm at my sister's. My nephew is, he has a piano recital on Wednesday that I will be going to, social distancing with masks and everything, but we're going to it. And my sister is a homeschooler, so she teaches in this room, and it is the perfect room to podcast it.
Are you going to teach us some lessons?
Yeah, I'm going to get on the blackboard. I'm going to put my scores right over here on the blackboard, Taryn. You'll see.
The new paddle.
All right. Well, there's plenty to talk about this week, even though there's not a lot to talk about in terms of what's actually happening this week. We have a lot of speculation that we can do about the triple eviction. I imagine that's where we're going to spend a lot of time. But just to recap what's been happening this week, we did see Cody win the HOH. He nominated Kevin and David. Kevin was the target. He did not win the veto. Cody won the veto. Cody did not use the veto. Kevin will be going home on Thursday. He is now campaigning, trying to make some progress here and see if he can stay. He actually did make a little bit of progress with Nicole, but Cody just shut her down as he is oft to do. And so I very much doubt that we will see any other outcome here, that Kevin will be going home on Thursday alongside two other people. Another little piece that happened today is that they got a little bit of a hint about the upcoming triple eviction, that Dr. Will had a message for them that said something about being three steps ahead. And I'm surprised they didn't just think that this was throwing shade at Tyler. But it was actually a hint to the fact that, that there's going to be a triple eviction. So many of them are now thinking that there's going to be potentially an eviction tonight because they're not anticipating a triple, but they are expecting that by the end of the week, they're probably going to see three people go home here.
What a disappointment. Like, literally, like, one of the best things about this triple eviction is that the double has gotten a little stale these past few seasons because everyone always knows that it's coming. So there's never any surprise. They already have planned out what they're going to do if they win HOH. They've talked about with their alliance, et cetera. Now, this was going to be like possibly one of the most exciting episodes because Well, our hope was that they wouldn't even tell them at the opening of the episode that it was going to be a triple. And instead, we were going to get a regular double. And then when they think they're safe, boom, they hit him with another. And that is what we were all looking forward to. And, you know, even if they told them at the outset, like, it's a triple eviction, like, at least we get the surprise on their faces. We get to see them scrambling, you know, like not knowing what to do because they all maybe assumed it was going to be a double and now it's a triple and everything's changed. Now we don't even get that. So what do we get? What do we get this season, really?
I mean, I'm normally with you in terms of the, frustration over this season, but I really don't believe that the house guests are prepared exactly for what's going to happen. I think that they, first of all, it's just a hint that Dr. Will gave them that, and they think, oh, maybe now three people are leaving. But again, it's just a maybe. And then Julie's going to hit them with the double eviction in quotes on Thursday. It's going to happen. I guarantee you they're going to be catching their breath. And they're not going to be prepared for it to happen again. I haven't seen anything that indicates to me that they are prepared exactly for what's going to happen on Thursday. So I do think we will get some, Melissa, not all, but some of what we were going to get.
Yeah, but I just feel like it's like, does CBS just like not know what good TV is? Like, do they just right. not get it? Because it's like every time we're about to get something that's possibly great, they just go and like are like, well, why don't we like not surprise them on the live episode. Like, this is the idea. We're not going to surprise them on the live episode. We'll let them think that it's a possibility. Even if we don't tell them flat out, like either we tell them flat out or we just make them think it's a possibility to ruin literally all drama, all suspense for the actual episode. It's like, I do not get the logic behind it. I don't understand why this is like a good move in terms of television at all.
Well, here would be my counterpoint, I think, that like what we are maybe not going to get, and let's face it, we'll still get it, is the, oh, it's a triple. Like, that's what we're missing the most, right? And I think that what we're getting is that ever since the feeds came back from this announcement, they've been running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And a lot of the drama that I was sad that I wouldn't get to see because it was all going to, you know, quickly happen, the Band-Aid was going to be ripped off in the triple, is kind of now happening now. And, you know, people are like, oh, now we got to watch out for Danny. We got to see what she's going to do. What is Christmas going to do? Danny and Tyler are talking all of a sudden, and they're trying to BS each other about what they're going to be doing in the future. And like, this week was super boring and super long all week long. Nothing was happening. And now we're getting something from the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I feel like,
if the cost is like their shocked faces are slightly more fake.
I mean, I think it's about that for people who don't watch the live feeds. Like, yeah, they want to see the shock on their faces when they find out that it's a triple. But I think for me, my thought process behind that wanting it to come as a total surprise to them is I feel like that even though in this situation, like, and this season, we're never going to get what we want, obviously, but usually my thought process would be like, this might make people panic, might make people like open doors to new moves that maybe they wouldn't have made, or maybe they wouldn't be able to like run by their alliance beforehand. Like, maybe if they're that surprised and they're like, oh my God, I just have to pick something and Tyler, you're on the block, whatever. Like, you know, it's like when Danny panicked when the power got used. It's
the disruptor,
like,
power. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I was hoping for something that might make them panic in the moment and make a decision that maybe they wouldn't have made had they gotten a minute or two or whatever to talk, or a week or whatever, to talk with their alliance.
See,
I'll disagree with you on that though, because every single time a house guest gets surprised by something and thrown into something right away, they pick the lowest common denominator, Melissa. They always pick the easiest, safest thing because they haven't had a chance to go to their friends and their alliance members and make plans and say, okay, if I do this, will you guys back me up? No one's going to put freaking Cody on the block unless they have the votes to get him out. So
I don't think anyone's putting Cody on the block.
I agree. I'm just living in the universe where something like that could happen. They're not going to make a big move without the ability to double check it or to fact check it, as Davon would say, with their fellow alliance members or friends. So they're just going to, I guarantee you, if they had no clue anything was happening and they hit him with this.
But what about Cindy?
They were anticipating a double eviction.
Well,
yeah, but they're anticipating that anyway.
But
they don't know.
Yeah, we're talking about Cindy from Big Brother Canada.
That it's a triple.
Yes.
So,
yes.
What happened in Big Brother Canada is that Aika had convinced this player named Cindy.
And that's not live either. That's not live. They taped that. So they had time to talk during the commercial break.
Yes.
And I'm fine with them talking during the commercial break. It's more about like the week, like the few days worth of planning versus like, we're not going to have to deal with this person on the block. Like, we're not going to have to deal with any sort of repercussions. Like, let's just like make a big move right now. Like, let's just boom. Like, you know, I just feel like the more time you have to talk about it, the more time you have to go over scenarios in your head, the more time you're like, well, I don't know what could come of this. So let me maybe make the safe move. At least that's in my opinion is like,
I hear where you're coming from.
I just feel like if you have a split second decision where you have to make it, yes, obviously it's not like an exact split second, but like, I mean, if you don't have the time to go through the scenarios in your head for a triple eviction versus a double, like, I just feel like there's a possibility that new moves can be made more so like people could, you know, kind of go out of their comfort zones.
So let me say this. In terms of double evictions, I don't think I've ever seen somebody make a move in a double eviction that was completely not even in their thought process prior to it. I think that pretty much every time I've seen somebody make a move in a double eviction, it's what Brent is saying. It's the lowest common denominator. It's the thing that they were already planning on doing. When you mentioned Dani with the disruptor power, the reason she put Tyler on the block is because she hadn't thought of any other options. She had only thought about Tyler. And the reason that I've been dreading this potential triple eviction is because with no thought process beyond their first target, Dani, they don't know who else to target. And by default, that puts David in a lot of danger. Whereas if they know that two people are going, now they have time to plan out, okay, who are the next two people I want to go that aren't David? Because they need to make sure they've talked to people. They need to make sure it's the right move for them, that they can make it happen if they try it. And if they don't, then they're probably just going to go with the safe thing and just send David out. With a little bit of forewarning, then they can get prepared to make that shot. In addition to that, as Brent said, I don't think that they're like fully caught up to like exactly what the format is going to be. Yeah. We don't even know what the format is going to be. It could be Big Brother Canada style, or it could be this new BBUS style.
Let's hope it's not Big Brother Canada style. That is literally the worst.
Big Brother Canada style would be the way that people would make, you know, a lot of mistakes. And I think that's where we see people like Willow go home out of nowhere. Right. That's where people make it. But they're not the kinds of mistakes that I think you'll want to see.
Just so you know, Melissa, and I'm with you generally on the whole Big Brother Canada triple eviction thing. But the only way that Cody goes home is if it is with a Big Brother Canada triple eviction.
I actually disagree.
You don't think that he can go home?
I think it's the opposite.
You think what? If it's the double-double that we all anticipate, that he could go home?
I think there's a 0.5% chance that Cody goes home in a double-double and a 0% chance he goes home in a triple.
Really?
In a BB can triple.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. See, I had worked out the math on that. I really thought, because it's a vote to save, just so you guys understand, in a Big Brother Canada triple eviction, three house guests are on the block, and the house guests vote to save, and the person with the highest number of save votes is safe, and the other two people just go home. So I was looking at that, and I thought there were various scenarios where Cody could actually not get the highest number of safe votes if he was up with, you know.
I feel like everyone would vote to save Cody, unfortunately.
That's kind of what I'm feeling. But I can't wait to get into all of that, because I like literally have every scenario.
Cool. Good. I know. I heard you earlier. Yeah.
But yes. Like, I mean, my stance has always been along these lines that when you shake the cage, the hamsters huddle up and they run, they retreat to what they know. They retreat to what's safest. It's when they feel comfortable that they make mistakes. They get greedy. They start making aggressive moves. So that's always been my philosophy on the game. I feel like it plays out time after time. And I feel like we are more likely to see moves being made if they have a little bit of time, a little bit of forewarning that they know, okay, the couple people are going, let's make sure we've got our plans in place so that we don't have to just default to David. And so I'm actually pretty okay with this overall. But let's talk about the state of the House really quickly, and then we can get into some triple scenarios here. First of all, the committee is done. There's no more committee. It's over. Kevin is going home, and David is not anybody's major target other than maybe Memphis. And that means the committee's done, and no more committee, no more state of the House with the committee at the top. It's been that way, not all season, but like the same people in general have been there all season. Instead, right, we're going to say the Root is running the House, Enzo and Cody. And they kind of have Nicole as a third. They kind of have Tyler as a third, with triple threat. So it's like the Root plus Nicole, they've got triple threat. And they're the people kind of running the House. Then you've got the Wise Guys crew, which is Memphis and Enzo, technically, with Christmas and Cody on a lower rung. But in reality, it's really just Christmas and Memphis, with Cody kind of like, yeah, it's an option. And Enzo like, I hate these people, they're poo-poo. And so then you have Tyler and Christmas, who have a strained final two. And then you have the outsiders, David and Danny.
Yeah.
All this coming.
Yeah. That's it, yo.
That's it, yo.
That's the House.
It's interesting to see, like, Danny in the diary room kind of talking about how, I mean, when she did the HOH comp and she's like, well, Dr. Will taught me that if you are safe or feel safe in this game, then you should go for prizes. Or if you're situated well in the game, and that you're whatever she said. And it's like, oh, you are not that, like, sorry. And it's very interesting that that is like her perspective on her positioning is like, so not what we're seeing and so what other people are seeing.
Can we talk about who is the person in the House who would put Danny up, who she least suspects? Because that's what I'm rooting for on Thursday,
Cody,
I think. But he can't compete in the first part.
Yes, he would in the second part.
Yeah. Okay, so somehow she survives. Well, let's say she wins HOH, then she survives.
HOH, takes out Christmas?
Yeah.
It's possible that Cody then goes for Danny.
Wow. That would be crazy if he put her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even Nicole could do it, yeah. I think, I don't think Nicole would put Danny straight up, but I think there are niche scenarios where Nicole puts Danny up as a replacement nominee.
Do you think that it's a good idea for Nicole to be going after Danny at this point? I'm not saying that she's like completely going after her, but the fact that she's not like, I need to keep her around.
I mean, is she a woman? She's a woman, right?
That is true.
Then Nicole's going to go after her. Oh,
it seems odd to me. It seems like a bad strategic move to me, just because I don't see Danny going after Nicole necessarily. Like, maybe, yes, Danny spreads her little seeds or whatever she does. But like, in terms of Nicole's relationship with other people, I feel like there are other people who she should go after way before Danny. Like, I just feel like she should maybe let someone else go after Danny and not like stick her neck out for Danny. But I don't think that Nicole should be actively like,
no,
hoping that Danny goes or anything like that.
Danny is not going. Danny is never targeting Nicole. So it'd be like, if Nicole went after Danny, Nicole would be doing the exact same thing that we've been criticizing Danny for the past 3 weeks, and getting rid of people who are loyal to her. There's no universe where Nicole Franzla, in my opinion, should go after Danny. There are plenty of other people, but not Nicole. I'm not sure after that. The problem from my point of view for Danny is that she doesn't know she's in trouble. So she doesn't necessarily know who she needs to go after. And even if she does pick off somebody who is going to put her up, there are still plenty of people left who will put her up after she can't compete anymore. So she's really going to have to string a couple of comps together to avoid being picked off in the next week or two here.
I'm very surprised that Danny doesn't recognize that she's in such a precarious position right now, just because, like, I feel like if you're not, I don't know. I mean, are people just like lying to her the whole time and making her think that some other people are targets? Or is she just like, I guess we don't have targets right now. Like,
She has to be uneasy after not getting her way three straight weeks and being pushed into doing something. She has to consider, but I don't know. Here's the thing, Melissa. Can I just point something out? I want you guys to understand this. I don't think it's within her wheelhouse to consider the possibility that she's actually at the bottom, that she could go home in the first part of the double triple eviction on Thursday. And you know what would happen if that actually occurred? She would end up in eighth place, which is the exact same place she ended up in on Big Brother 13 when she played the way she wanted to. She played big balls, big moves, everything. She made the fans happy. She went for guts and glory in Big Brother 13, and we loved her for it. But she was mad because she didn't get the big prize. This time, she's playing with the big alliance. She's not making any big moves. She's doing what others. She's trying to be a team player. And I guarantee you, I think she's going to end up in exactly the same spot. And I'm going to be so here for the irony if it happens.
Yes. So to go back to Nicole, I do not think that Nicole will put Danny up. There's one scenario, maybe two, but probably one scenario where she does. I think if Danny had won the first HOH in the triple and she got Tyler out, then Nicole won the second one. I think that Nicole would put up Memphis and David. If Christmas wins the veto and uses it on Memphis, which I think she would, then Nicole would have to choose between Cody, Enzo, and Danny to replace. I think at that point she would choose Danny. If Memphis just straight up won the veto, she would have to choose between Christmas and Danny, and she might just choose Danny at that point, but she may also choose Christmas. But that's the scenario where I think where she might actually put Danny on the block, and I think Danny would still be shocked that Nicole chose Enzo and Cody over her in that spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Lots of fun stuff coming up, but I'm with you, Taryn, in terms of your annoyance over it being ripped off like a Band-Aid in the middle of a triple eviction. This is like the juiciest part of the year. And I just want to make a plea to the Big Brother producers, who I know are big fans of the show, to try a double eviction, or if you want to do triple evictions, try this sort of fast forward thing early in the season when things are boring.
And like what they're talking about right now, there's probably an eviction tonight and then a fast forward into a double eviction. That'd be great. Fast forward is great. It's fast gameplay. It's like BB Celebrity kind of gameplay. It's fun. It's quick.
That's what we like.
There's not as much downtime. It doesn't need to all be on one. The only benefit to having it all take place in one night is that you're seeing the whole thing play. You're like, because it's basically live. That you're watching the competitions live. Yeah, that's basically it. If they shut the feeds down for the competitions during a double eviction, then it would be the worst thing ever, because it would just be like, okay, we're just skipping through the game at this point. It's exciting because you actually care about the competitions for the first time in the entire season, because you usually know the competition outcomes already, right? So that's what's exciting about it. And, just take that part away and just do some fast forwards. Fast forwards are great. Fast forwards are fun.
And I've been saying this all along, shorten the season. Have less people. We'll shorten the season. Like, I mean, I love Big Brother, but I prefer good Big Brother in a shorter time frame than long time frame with bad gameplay and boring gameplay. Like, I guess not bad gameplay, but just boring gameplay. Like, that's like not fun for me at all. Like, I love, that's why, like, I loved Big Brother celebrities time frame. Like, and it doesn't even need to be that short. Like, just, but that sort of mindset of like, let's like get this going. We don't need all this downtime, but I don't know. I don't know if they'll ever do it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like, because I think asking them to shorten the season is one of those things where it's like, that's a network to say like that, like they provide a certain amount of episodes and they need a certain amount of content with the certain amount of time that they have, whatever. I think even if you can't shorten the season, you should still limit the number of people. And yes, that would make the game potentially even slower, but I think the gameplay would still be better. Yes, there might be more downtime for people that watch the feeds and like want something to happen every single day. But like, let's be real. Nothing has ever happened every single day in the history of Big Brother. Like, we're always going to have downtime. So I think like leave it as long as you want if you need to. But I think it's the cast size. And I've been doing some research into this as well. I really feel like cast size is a big part of the kinds of gameplay that we're seeing. As you know, more people means more groupthink, more group mentality, more mob mentality, and it's harder to play as an individual. And that's, you know, we're seeing a lot of the kind of gameplay that we're seeing. But yeah, you know, a shorter season would also be fine. I mean, Big Brother Canada is fine, you know, in terms of length. Yeah. Except for when Big Brother Canada 7 happens and people complain, but you know, whatever.
All this talk about size, my goodness. All right. Anyway, moving on, Taryn.
All right. I think it's funny, like I'm on the podcast like every day, trashing this idea that the Big Brother US is like copying Big Brother Canada. And they're doing this dumb twist and they're morons that don't know what they're doing.
Well, yeah. Don't copy the dumb stuff. Copy the fun stuff. Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, I don't mind that they ruined it because I didn't like it in the first place. And people are like, paid shill.
You guys, Taryn,
you can never win, Taryn.
Yeah,
and Taryn is not. If only Taryn got paid by CBS people, he would be living so much better than what he is.
They
now
should pay me. I'd tell them
studio.
How to make the show right.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh, he should be a consultant for CBS, but then you'd have to listen to me every morning, and God bless you on that. So.
All right. So let's talk about this potential triple eviction as we head into it. That, like I said, we're likely seeing Kevin go home this week. With that being the case, we head into the triple. We've been talking about Big Brother Canada style, double style. So the way Big Brother Canada does a triple eviction is that the person gets evicted. They play for HOH as normal in a double eviction. Somebody wins HOH, and then they nominate three people. They then play the veto. Somebody comes down, whatever. They stay the same, whatever. Then they cast their votes, and it's a vote to save. You save one of the three nominees from eviction, and the other two end up going home. That's how the Big Brother Canada triple works. And like many of Big Brother Canada's twists, it's very poorly thought out because it tends to, as we often see, favor the majority. It's terrible for the people in the minority because they get, you know, clipped off, you know, on accident, essentially. And so that's one way that they could do this. We're hoping that it's not that way because it's a 2-hour show. And in Big Brother Canada, they do a triple eviction in 1 hour. And the fact that it's 2 hours gives us some indication that perhaps we're just going to run through two double eviction style evictions. And how that would work, we would imagine, is that you'd have a regular eviction. Kevin goes home. Then they play in an HOH. Somebody wins. They nominate two people. They play for a veto. They vote one of those two people out, and then we do it again. And somebody wins HOH, and they nominate two more people, and they play veto, and they vote that person out, and that's the episode. Then the next episode, we get the next HOH. So it's three people going home in normal format evictions, just very sped up. And that's what I think a lot of us are hoping for, anticipating. And so it's important to note the distinction between those two things because they actually have vastly different outcomes in terms of who might go home. Not for the most likely person to go home, but for the second person that might go home. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. The first one I want to talk about is the double-double. I think this is the more likely scenario. I can't actually run through every single scenario. I thought that it would be fun to, and then I, when I was doing it, I was like, that's impossible. I can't do that on a podcast. It will take 4 hours. But I did go through them all and I assigned percentages and I did my best. You have to take guesses. If there were situations where I felt like it could go either way, I just kind of cut the percentage in half. And when it theoretically go half this way, half this way. They tend to be very small percentages anyway, so I did my best. We'll see how this goes, but the most likely person to go home in the triple eviction by far, and you don't need to do percentages to figure this out, is Danny. Danny is very likely to go home in this triple eviction. I put it at about 55% that she goes home in the first eviction alone. In just the first one, she has a 55% chance of being the person sent home. Basically, either her or Nicole need to win HOH, or she needs to win veto, or she's done. I'm pretty sure pretty much every other scenario leads to a Danny eviction, and that would not be good for her, obviously. It's a bad spot here.
Not good, Bob. Not good. Yeah. Evicted. I can't tell you of the people in the season, I can honestly say this, that I am the most disappointed in Danny, because she overlearned the lessons of BB13, and it's going to, in all likelihood, result in her eviction sometime on Thursday, probably during the first eviction, most likely during the first eviction, but if not then definitely during the second eviction, unless it's Nicole, Danny, HOH back to back or something like that. But they're really in dire straits here, and especially Danny. And I just don't know where is the fire? It's like the fire's there, but it's muted. She relents. She acquiesces to Cody at seemingly every turn. I can't remember. I think I was listening to you and Sharifa, Taryn, on the Monday podcast when we were talking, or you guys were talking about when Danny's game died, and it was I think from Sharifa's point of view it was when Ian got put up on the block, and from your point of view it was the day that Danny was begging Cody to come talk to her when she was drunk in the middle of the night, because it just totally encapsulated her terrible sad game this season. And if she goes on Thursday night, she's gonna look back on this season and really, really regret it.
Yeah, I will say, I forgot to mention that I did these percentages based off of the probably incorrect idea that everyone has about an equal chance of winning a competition. Normally I would try to give certain people edges, but there's just so many different competitions we're going to see. And I expect a lot of them to be pretty crapshooty, pretty just question oriented, since they're going to have to be built and taken down very quickly. So I'm expecting it's mostly going to be crapshooty kinds of competitions, and therefore everyone will have a relatively equal chance. I did try to incorporate the idea that Enzo might not be trying to win in all scenarios. But I think most people other than Enzo will be trying to win in most scenarios. So just to explain that part of it, I can tell you that. So based on what I put together, that Danny, 55%, about 55% chance she goes home in the first eviction of a double double. By the second eviction, I'm anticipating 83% chance that Danny is evicted at some point on Thursday night. It is very unlikely that she will stay in the game at this point. Only 17% that she will survive Thursday night. She will either be eighth or seventh place here.
Do you think that the only way she survives is if she wins a competition, otherwise she was out? Or do you think that there are certain people in the house who would not go for her? Do you think David or Nicole would not go for her. Like, I mean, I know there's like, you were saying there's like the chance like that she could be put up like once as a replacement or whatever. But like, in terms of like, is there any HOH scenario where she survives generally because they don't want to put her up? Like, would that just be David and Nicole maybe?
I think David would go after her.
I mean, I don't even know. It's like, I think that like, my thought for Dani is the only way she stays is if she wins a competition.
Yes. So Nicole is the only person that just straight up probably won't put her on the block, except for the few scenarios I talked about earlier. And then it's basically Nicole wins a competition and Dani wins a competition. That keeps Dani safe. Dani wins two competitions. As long as they're in separate eviction cycles, that keeps her safe. There's maybe a, one or two outside of that, but, some scenarios where Cody won't go after her. Like if he loses Nicole, I thought chance he doesn't go after Dani after losing Nicole. Because then he's really giving a lot of power to Memphis and Christmas and Tyler. Some small scenarios there where it might not happen, but for the most part, if Dani expects to survive Thursday night, she's going to have to hope that both her and Nicole, or just her, win at least two competitions.
Yikes. Not looking good for Dani, unfortunately.
Not looking good. So the second most likely person to go home in the triple eviction, it's actually it's a bit of a tie here. There are two people who are about equally likely to go home in the triple. And those two people are Memphis and Christmas. Both of them are in a lot of trouble, mainly because Enzo seems to want one of them out, like desperately. he really wants to break up the wise guys. We know that Cody really wants to go after Christmas. That's very dangerous for Christmas. If Dani wins the first HOH or even the second one, she's gunning for Christmas. That makes up a lot of her points. Then you have Nicole, who would gun for Memphis, David, who would gun for Memphis. And so all of those add up to overall chance the entire night, about 33% for each of them that they go home. So they're really kind of fighting there in the number two spot to survive.
Does that make sense for Enzo to want them to go?
I was just going
to
say, what are they? What like, is Enzo smoking?
What am I missing? Because like, I'm like that. He's in like a prime position where both Cody on the one hand and Memphis and Christmas on the other hand are thinking that they're working with him, or at least have made plans that they're working with him. And he wants to get them out. Like, it just seems like there's other people still in the house that he's not actively working with that he should be going after first. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. I mean, I theorized about it a bit this morning that like Enzo doesn't want Memphis to be the guy creating the alliances, because like, it's hard to figure out any other real motive here.
I could see Cody wanting Christmas and possibly Memphis out, just because it's like, oh, okay, you thought you could trick me and create this other side wise guy alliance, and then think that I'm just going to like look stupid as your like second wise guy alliance. Like, I could absolutely see Cody thinking that, but like Enzo, you're in the middle, like you're in the good spot. What do you, why?
Yeah, this is equivalent to Davon rejecting being the fifth wheel in the middle of two couples in a five-way alliance in Big Brother 18, except that this is even worse because it's way later in the game. I don't understand Enzo's point of view here in trying to get rid of Memphis. In fact, I thought this was like one of the reasons why I gave Enzo a 10 and a 9, because he was positioned so well. Now, true, some of it is not through his doing. You know, obviously Memphis choosing him, it wasn't like Enzo went out and got that, but on the other hand, you can't deny the fact that Enzo consistently ends up in positions like this, and his social game is what makes people want to work with him. They see him as somebody that is trustworthy, that is loyal, that will do what he says he's going to do. But in this case, I'm honestly, except for what you said, Taryn, I mean, Enzo does enjoy the fact that he, you know, names things, that they, his thing. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe the chat is calling it out, how they think you nailed it in terms of Memphis being the mastermind and Enzo just doesn't like it. But it has to be more than that, doesn't it? For $500,000?
You'd think, you know, it's really hard to understand Enzo in this. I mean, I've been a little bit perplexed by him for a few weeks now, that it's felt like he has not had his head fully in the game. And you know, if I'm Enzo, I do genuinely want Danny and Nicole to go, because Christmas and like I can maybe see Christmas leaving for Enzo. I can see that, because Christmas may or may not have this attachment to Tyler. And if she has an attachment to Tyler, then she has an attachment to Memphis, and he might be the fourth person or the third person on her list. And that's not great, because he's the, you know, third or fourth person on Nicole and Danny's list. So I can see where there's a little bit of comparison there. But you also definitely want Nicole and Danny out. And you don't want, because they strengthen Cody a lot. And the Memphis is one of the people who will take Enzo to the final two. There aren't that many people in the house that will actually do that. It's Memphis, probably Cody, maybe Tyler, and that's it. That's it. Those are the only three people that might take him to the final two. Memphis is the only one that's locked in for sure. We know he wants to take Enzo to the final two.
And even worse than that, Memphis is one of the three people that I think is the easiest for Enzo to beat. The other two people, yeah. Cody and Tyler, I do think that Enzo would have a tougher time against. Maybe some people can disagree with me on that, considering, you know, Devon's not a big fan of Cody right now, but she's also not a big fan of Tyler, and I can't believe she really likes Memphis all that well. So I still think Memphis is the best person. He's a bit of an ornery guy. He doesn't say, he doesn't kiss ass well, so I don't know how he would perform in a final two. Plus, he already has money from their point of view. Like, he has a couple restaurants or many restaurants. I honestly forget, but he's in a different place financially than a lot of them. I'll put it
that
way.
Yeah, he doesn't need $10,000 just because he doesn't feel like lying about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I still think Memphis is the best person to sit next to in the final two for somebody like Enzo, who doesn't have money.
Christmas is the best.
Well, yeah, I'm talking of the three guys. Of the three people who want to take him to the final two. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's very perplexing. I don't know what Memphis, what Enzo is up to here.
I mean, hopefully he doesn't win HOH, because if you're rooting for Enzo, the worst thing that could happen is he wins HOH, because then if he actually did go after Memphis, I think it would be a game killer.
I will say I'm predicting that Enzo probably does not want to win the first HOH of this triple eviction, that he will probably try in the second one, based on what happens in the first one. But I did incorporate, not that it would make that much of a difference, but I did incorporate that Enzo probably not trying super hard in the first part of the HOH, just because all of his targets are currently targeting each other. So,
yeah,
you know, even if he did want to take Danny and Nicole out, like, it doesn't really make sense for him to be the one to do it. And he's been throwing HOHs, so it's hard to expect him to change that. So Memphis and Christmas in a lot of danger. If it's a double-double, I would expect that Danny and one of Memphis or Christmas are the two people to leave. They are the three most likely people by a decent margin. The next three people in danger, and that's really the rest of them in general, are Nicole, David, and Tyler. Nicole and David at around 16% likelihood of going home over the course of the night. Tyler with about 14%. All relatively equally likely to go here. About half as likely to go as both Christmas and Memphis, but still a full, like, you know, six times less likely to go than like Danny or something. Or five times less likely to go. Nicole, not very likely to go in the first eviction, a little more likely to go in the second one. David, more likely to go in the first one than the second one, but pretty equal overall. Tyler, a little bit more likely to go in the second one overall. And this is mostly assuming that Danny continues to want to target Christmas over Tyler. If she shifts that and she starts to want to target Tyler over Christmas, then that would shift a decent amount over from Christmas to Tyler. Same thing goes with Tyler and Memphis. I'm also assuming that Nicole prefers Memphis out over Tyler right now. But if Nicole decides she'd prefer Tyler out over Memphis, which is probably what Cody would want, then that might shift from Memphis to Tyler. So Tyler, one of the lower people here percentage wise, but this is not locked in. He is definitely the second option for a couple of different people. And that not only puts him in danger for the triple as things stand, but also that things could change by the time the triple happens, and he could be in trouble for the eviction. So that's sort of where I see that those things playing out here. I think Cody has about 0.5% chance to go home in the second eviction. In the second eviction, there's a small chance that Cody could go home.
Let me get my lottery ticket.
Yes. The scenario where that plays out, right? It's a Christmas HOH in the second part of the eviction. Say somebody like David wins HOH, sends Danny home, then Christmas wins the following HOH. She probably puts up Nicole and Cody. Mm-hmm. She's probably not going to put up David. If she does that, unless David puts her up as a pawn, but if he doesn't, then Christmas probably puts up Nicole and Cody. If Nicole wins the veto, then it's possible that Christmas, she would have to either put up David or Enzo. If she puts up Enzo, Cody would go home. Not likely. She would probably put up David.
Yeah.
Well, there's a chance. There's a chance that that like Tyler's in here, like, you can't put up David. He's going to go home. And Tyler and Cody and Nicole are both going to be safe. It's a small chance. Very unlikely, but small chance. And then there's a couple of other specific scenarios. There's so many that it's hard to find them as I search here. But it's mostly scenarios where, say, Nicole goes home, Christmas wins, puts up Danny and Cody, and then maybe Danny wins the veto. Who goes up next to Cody? Is it David or Enzo? You know, it's that scenario, essentially. Does right. Christmas really decide, I really want Cody to go home here? If so, sorry, Enzo, I need to use you as a pawn real quick, but don't worry, nobody's going to vote you out.
Yeah, that's tough. I hope she's never shown any propensity to do that before. Somebody would have to be in her ear saying it's okay. Maybe Tyler could be in her ear saying, you know, we have to do it. We have to take a shot at Cody. It is interesting to note that it would only take two votes to send Cody out during the second part. If it is a double-double on Thursday, because six people are voting when Kevin is eventually evicted on Thursday, most likely. Then obviously five people for the first part and four people for the second part. So you'd only need two votes plus an HOH tiebreaker to get rid of Cody. And that would be glorious to see.
Yes, yes. And people are like, oh, it's Tyler's. That's way too small a percentage. 14% is a decent percent to go home. Like, that's not good.
Yeah, I think Donald Trump won the presidency with around 14% in 2016. What are y'all talking about?
Yeah, 14% is about like the percent chance that you have to go home if somebody wins the veto. Like on a week where there are two people on the block and you go home if one person wins the veto, that's that kind of percentage. Like, that's not a good place to be. Tyler absolutely could leave in this spot, as could David, as could Nicole. Memphis and Christmas, about twice as likely, but still, you know, very possible. Danny's the only one that's like, she's probably going home. And even Danny, there's basically a 1 in 6 chance that she stays. And so it's not guaranteed that she goes. Like, you know, percentages are, you know, percentages for a reason. Enzo, yes, is at 0%. I do not see any scenario where Enzo honestly goes home or even probably touches the block, except for that one where he goes up next to Cody, and even that is super, super rare. And
good,
I do believe
him.
Cody would go home. Yeah,
that's impressive. I mean, have 0% chance of going home during a triple eviction, gotta give it to him. He might be doing some weird stuff in terms of who he's targeting, but in terms of his safety, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah. So that's the double double. Like I said, I'm expecting Danny and probably one of Christmas or Memphis. If not one of Christmas or Memphis, definitely one of Tyler, Nicole, or David. Just depending on how those comps play out. Then we head into What if it's a Big Brother Canada triple? What if they do it the other way? They do it the way where one person wins HOH and they put up three people. This actually changes things quite a bit, in my opinion. Danny, in this scenario, is actually less likely to go home because she only needs to win one competition to survive, right? So she has about a 67% chance of going home in this spot. So she has her chances basically doubled to stay. She is twice as likely to stay if it's this kind of triple eviction. So she should be praying that it is.
Yeah.
David is the second most likely person to go home in this kind of triple eviction. David with about 50% likelihood of going home if it's this kind of triple. His chances of going home triple for the triple eviction in the case of a Big Brother Canada triple eviction. And that's because he is very often a third nominee. Mm-hmm. Somebody that just, I'm not going to put up three targets. I'm going to put up at best two targets and a David. And then there are usually numbers to keep one of the other people, like a Nicole or Cody or even Memphis, if Christmas and certain and Cody sometimes are off the block. And David often just kind of gets hit by that stray shot that he was not really a target, but they didn't know who else to put up as in the third spot. And so he gets sent home there and his chance of going home increase dramatically.
Yep. I think that David in this situation, it's just, it makes sense to put David on the block. Like, you don't want to have three people upset with you. Like, cause David, he already knows like everyone's not really working with him. He's an easy mark. Like, you just put him up there. He's not going to be angry with you necessarily because there are so many other people who have put him on the block or targeted him or whatever. And so it's an easy one. And the problem with that being an easy one is that, like, he's also easy to just go and not worry about saving.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he has no agency behind him. That's the problem. You really need to have some of that in order to survive this sort of a triple eviction, which is exactly how they shouldn't play. They, you know, if it is a BB Can style triple eviction, there's no way that David should touch the block. I mean, you're looking,
that's an easy,
but they're not going to have time to think that through.
I know. Well, I mean, they have 2 hours, so they got some sort of time, you know.
I mean, it makes sense because if you're the HOH, you don't want to have three people on the block. And then I just feel like it's like, I mean, I guess it makes sense because if two of the three go, then you're not really thinking about that.
You have a chance to remove two massive pieces out of the board.
Yeah, and only one person stays, and that one might be mad at you, but okay, it's one.
But it's
and
but
if
it's,
you're putting their allies up next to them,
it's also the fact that most people in the house don't have three people that they want to go home right now. That they are only thinking two people ahead. Mm-hmm. That like Danny wants Tyler and Christmas to go. Christmas and Tyler to go. Who's the third person? David, I guess. I don't want David to be here. Nicole wants Tyler and Memphis to go. Who's the third person? Danny? David. I'm not going to put Danny on the block and then she doesn't go home. You know, who does Tyler want to go? Danny and Nicole and Memphis, I guess. He's actually one of the few people I think might not put David on the block. It's a bad example. But you know, even Christmas, like Danny and Nicole. And then who else for Christmas? Cody? Okay, yeah. But then David goes up on the block. If the veto is won in any of these, even if he doesn't go up on the block in the first round, he definitely goes up on the block in the second round because there are definitely at least two people, at least three people that people want to protect, right? It just puts people in a bad spot. Now, if they had time to really prepare and they knew it was going to be a BB Can style eviction, then they could go, okay, if I have to nominate three people, let me count the votes in every scenario. Let me tell you, from experience, it takes a few hours. So you have to have some time to sit down and think and prepare if you really want to avoid just sending out somebody like David. So,
which I will say, Melissa, I don't mean to interrupt you, Taryn. I'm so sorry. But Melissa was talking about the fact that, weird stuff can happen. That would be one of the few places where I think that it would be play to your advantage in terms of, forcing people to do something that they aren't prepared for and getting unpredictable results. Because in the first triple eviction we ever saw in Big Brother Canada, someone actually ended up sending home someone who was their ally because they were counting the votes and they weren't sure about who would vote to save where. And they ended up making a choice to basically save someone. Basically, they made a choice to save somebody that they if somebody else went home, they knew they had to have this person and they had to have Kevin Martin out of the game. She actually ended up sending home one of her best friends, the girl I'm talking about, was actually the winner of that season in that scenario. And it was very funny to watch and gave us a very unpredictable show that evening.
Yes, I'm seeing in the chat people are saying that Danny just said on the feeds that she is going after Tyler over Christmas now.
Ow, sorry.
See, now I
get my hand.
I know you're upset about Tyler being targeted, Brent.
I was like, wait, what?
But come on.
What is Brent saying?
I don't know. It's hard to know sometimes. Sometimes this is not actually true. Sometimes people make things up in the chat. Sometimes it's not like a super thing. But let me tell you this. If this is true, if Danny has decided that she would prefer Tyler to go over Christmas, then I would shift those odds. I can't tell you the exact percentage it would shift, but likely we would see Tyler and Christmas be a little more, at least a little bit even in terms of odds. I would probably look at them like Tyler's probably at like 25% and Christmas is at like 23% or something like that. So Tyler would, he would go up and Memphis would probably stay the same. So it would be Danny, Memphis, Tyler, Christmas in that order, if that is if that's what happens there. And if it's true, I'll adjust my formula for the next time we talk.
Yeah, I want to see this formula, Taryn.
Look at it. I don't know if it'll make any sense to you.
Yeah, I just want to say, I want to tell everybody. So earlier today, I listened to the live updates when I can, and I heard Taryn say at the beginning of the update that he was going to write down everything for in preparation for the roundtable tonight. And I sent him a message over text and I said, hey, when you get a chance, send me that, because I'd like to take a look at it. And I got no response from him. And now it makes sense, because it was like, ended up being like a 4-page PDF of like all these percentages and various scenarios.
It's longer than 4 pages.
Oh my God.
I literally spent all day doing this. So.
Right. All right.
Yeah. But yes, I would expect that Tyler's percentage would go up, Christmas's would go down, because a big part of why Christmas is likely to go home is those two instances where Danny wins the HOH, or Cody winning the second HOH is the other place where she probably goes home. So, but Danny targeting Tyler over Christmas would definitely shift the balance toward much more likely that Tyler goes home than Christmas. But would it change the other one? Probably as well. We'd probably just shift. So Danny still most likely to go home in a Big Brother Canada style eviction. David, 50% chance that he goes home there as well. Then you have Memphis and Christmas down at 25%. But if it's true that Danny's going after Tyler over Christmas, then I would probably swap Christmas and Tyler in this spot and say Tyler is at 25% with Memphis and Christmas is down at 17% with Nicole. I had Nicole at 19%. So what this kind of does is like squash the numbers a bit, so that it's just generally more likely that anything can happen, which I'm sure is why Big Brother Canada loves it. But it's anything can happen in the sense that the underdogs, the outsiders, are more likely to go home in spots where they otherwise wouldn't. Yeah. So That's where we are. David, by the way, so David, 50% chance in a Big Brother Canada style, about 16% chance in a double-double. I think if they were just two regular evictions, David would probably be even less than the 16%. I think David would probably be pretty much a lock to stay for the next couple of evictions, if not for the triple in general. But that's about where I see this. It's obviously not 100% accurate. It goes off of certain assumptions a lot of the major choices I do think are obvious and locked in. There are a couple of scenarios where it's like, could go this way, could go this way. I tried to incorporate that into this as much as I could, but that's what I got.
Good job, Taryn.
Taryn.
Yeah, really. I'm so excited to see some of this play out, because on Thursday night, we're going to get what will be, honestly, since, you know, I'll tell you, like, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Since Davon got evicted, like, I've been so bored. I really have been. I've been looking for something to pick me back up. And at least we're going to get a little bit of a pick me up on Thursday with what's going to happen. And, you know, yeah, they were clued in a little bit. But again, I don't think they're prepared for what's exactly going to happen. And I just love it when the house guests are surprised. So we'll see what happens.
Yes. If people really want to see this whole thing, I'd probably need somebody to make a chart for me based on, because there's no way that I'd be able to present this in a readable format by myself.
Yeah,
it's so funny. This is why you do so much better in the stock watch than I do, because in my mind, I'm like, well, there's really no way to predict what's going to happen on Thursday. And you're like, well, actually, here's exactly how we're going to predict it down to the numbers. And that is exactly why I do not do well in the stock watch.
Well, there you go. All right. Speaking of the stock watch, are we ready?
We are.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get into it then. Here is the stock watch. We're going to rate the players from 1 to 10 based on how well they are doing in the game this week. And it's going to be an interesting one, because with the triple looming and literally everyone except for probably Cody and Enzo could easily go home. Like, again, 1 in 6 shot for at least for every single person, if not more. So It was hard to like gauge where I want to rate these players in general. I kind of like this week, not because of anything they are doing, but I think in general I was just kind of like, the triple kind of makes everyone's game worse a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. It doesn't really help anyone except for like maybe Cody, if he does it right. Right. Because he's probably a lock, and, you know, and maybe Enzo if he gets lucky, since he kind of wants to do the bad thing for himself. But the ratings might be a little wonky this week just because it's weird and there's a triple. But we polled the audience. You guys submitted your ratings for the players as well. And we're going to go through them bit by bit, player by player. And we're going to start with Christmas. Brent, how do you feel about Christmas?
I'm so torn about Christmas. It's very fancy Fencerton to me, because of the fact that there are two people in my view that would take Christmas to the end of the game, in Memphis and Tyler. And she at least recognizes that, you know, there is a bit of a tug and pull in her mind for who she's going to be more loyal to. Obviously, she was more loyal to Tyler in the beginning. Now she's more loyal to Memphis because of the fact that Tyler really shook her. She was shook when Tyler tried to quit the game. And she's saying that he tried to dishonor Big Brother. I don't think that's really it. I think that's cover for her being like, I got my feelings hurt because you didn't want to play with me anymore. He didn't give an F about Christmas. He just wanted to go home and leave her high and dry. So I am torn. I will say that I think she's probably more on the outs than she is in the in. So because of that, it's going to be a low score. Exactly how low? I think by the end of Thursday night, she will not be in the house anymore. So I'm going to give her a 4. I think that she's quickly running out of runway in the Big Brother house. And I look forward to her during the triple eviction, when the HOH is invariably targeting her during the second part and says, Christmas is my target. And she says to everybody, well, we need to respect what the HOH wants here, guys. That's what we should do. You know? Yeah, that was sarcasm, by the way. It's a four.
All right. It's been tough. It's been tough for Christmas. I'm going to go with a five for Christmas. And that's because, you know, about a 33% chance, according to my own calculations, that she goes home on Thursday. Although if you kind of, if you assume that, you know, Big Brother Canada style and Big Brother double double style are equally likely, then you'd kind of average those percentages out and it'd be a little bit lower. But still, she's relatively likely to go home on Thursday. But if she doesn't go home, I don't know that she's necessarily like a target at the final six. I think that she starts to blend back in, especially if like if she doesn't go, it's probably Memphis that goes. And that's not great for her, but at the same time, it's not terrible for her because depending on, you know, who wins the next one. Right. I think Cody will still probably be after her, but she will probably have like David and Tyler on board. And so depending on who else is there with her. Right. But I don't think she's in the worst spot in the world. I think the longer she makes it in the game, the more appetizing she is as a final two, person to bring to the final two. I think Memphis is her best bet to win. I think she can beat Tyler. A lot of people have looked at Tyler like he's checked out this season. Davon doesn't respect the way that he tried to leave the game.
Davon is not feeling Tyler, let me tell you all.
just to make this clear overall, especially at this part of the game, like I feel like anybody can win this jury.
I do too.
I really do.
Yeah, I do.
Not only because every member of the jury has gone out being like, I'm going to be super bitter. And it's like, what does that even mean? Like, who does that impact the most? I have no idea. And then also the fact that a lot of these players are on relatively equal playing fields. They've all been in the same alliance. They've all been playing relatively similar style games. Mm-hmm. And so I really feel like anybody can win. I'm not ready to count anybody out, even David. For me, it's a five. What I want to see from her, if she's going to succeed, is first of all, survive the triple. Second of all, get to the end with one of these people, David, Memphis, even Tyler. And I think those are the people she's likely to end up in the final two with. But she's going to have to win some comps. And I think her allies are gonna have to win some comps as well. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree with what both you guys are saying. I feel like there's a serious chance that she could leave, or I guess not be here next week. But at the same time, I know there are percentages and I know, but it's like, I still feel like anything could happen and she could win a comp. Like, you know, it's like, I don't necessarily think that like, I mean, I know you guys don't think this either, that she's just like dead in the water. But I also think that after this week, if she's sixth around, I don't think she's dead in the water either. I am concerned, however, because, you know, Enzo talking about wanting to go after her when supposedly they're working together is like not great for her. But I do think that she has like some people still there on her side. So I'm not ready to go down to a four yet. So I'm like at a low five, but a five.
Yes. Right. The audience is with us, Melissa. They gave her a five as well. It's such a tricky spot. It's so hard to judge where these players are with the triple. And
she could be out or make a run at the end game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
it's always like, well, if she leaves this week, then this. If she doesn't leave this week, then this. It's like anybody could leave. Like usually it's like, we only have two people to consider, well, if they leave or if they don't leave. And the rest of them are like, okay, they're going to be here next week so they could turn it around. But now it's like, she could literally be gone.
Six people. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. And what I said at the start of this was that like players are going to be penalized for the triple coming. But I think what I meant was that like, for me, my ratings gravitated toward the middle just because the more uncertainty there is in the game, the more I'm just like, it's not good. It's not bad. I don't know. Anything could happen. And like, just because, you know, Christmas is, you know, third most likely person to go home in the triple eviction doesn't mean that she's going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's still only 30%. Like, that's actually not that big. And the same time, is, you know, 16% is probably bigger than people think, but 33% is probably not as big as people might think. So it's, the percentages can be misleading sometimes if you're trying to compare them, I think. So next up is Cody. Let's talk about Cody. Last week, Cody got the highest score in the history of the Stockwatch. He got three tens and an eight from the audience. This week, I am not at the 10, mostly because of the triple eviction. So he's very well positioned. He's probably going to survive the triple eviction. But I don't know what the game is going to look like on the other end of the triple eviction. It will probably look good for him, but I don't know. So that's one thing. Second thing, didn't love how he handled the Kevin conversation.
That's the thing.
I think that he has pretty much repaired it. I don't think Kevin's going to leave this game like, I'm definitely still not voting for Cody. I think he's fine with Cody now. But if this is an indication of like how Cody will react in a jury questioning, that's not great. Third thing, he has too much faith in the idea that David will not come for him. I think that David will come for him, and I'm not sure he sees that. And that's pretty much the one thing he doesn't see in the game. So those are three negatives, but they're not like huge negatives. They're just like, I'm really trying to nitpick. But with those nitpicks, it's a 9 for me.
Yeah, totally agree. You called it. The Kevin conversation was really the first part of what I have seen before in Cody, but that Derek really kept under lock and key, which was the obstinate part of him, the part that gets irritated quickly, that snaps at people. And even then, I don't think he was terrible in the conversation with Kevin, but overall, I don't think he handled it as well as he could have, considering he's the one who's the HOH. He's the one who's in power. He's the one who's ending somebody else's dream. You have to at least own your stuff in that. You know, you can't just, you're not on an equal playing field. And when you're talking with someone, even though it doesn't seem fair. And there are ways that he can go home. They are mostly improbable, but there are ways that he can go home. And with a triple eviction, anything is possible, especially if it's a Canada tryout style triple eviction, which I know Taryn disagrees with, but I do think that there is a way that he could go home in that instance.
Oh yeah. I forgot to ask you what's the scenario where you see that happening?
I mean, so let's see. Christmas wins HOH targets Danny,
Nicole, Cody is what I expected.
Yeah. Danny, Nicole, Cody. And then Danny wins. Let me take that back. David wins the veto. Nobody would use the veto on Danny. So Danny would have to win the veto. Danny wins the veto, comes down. She has to name a replacement nominee. And she puts up Enzo?
Yeah. I mean, that's similar to the spot. I think she's less likely to put up Enzo in the third because she can't promise Enzo safety. And I don't think she wants to risk Enzo's safety in that spot. So I think she's less likely to put up Enzo there as she is in the second part of the double or triple. Right. But it's still, I guess, theoretically possible. I think I expected that she would put David up as the replacement with a three nomination.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to avoid saying David, because I'm like, if he goes on the block in a triple, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
In that kind of a triple. So anyway, no matter what, any way you slice it, it's a 9. And if he can survive the triple eviction and things continue to go his way, I'll bump him back up to a 10. But right now there's too many unknowns and a couple of deficiencies. It has to be a 9.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree. And I kind of like, I feel like I regret giving him a 10 last week only because I'm like, really, this is the highest scored person. And our whole Stockwatch.
Melissa, he's been the HOH for freaking 8 weeks.
That is true. But still, it's like when you say it like that, it's like, oh, really? Like, is this what we're all going to live with?
I do think something that you have, like that we have to like look at, because it can sometimes get lost, is that this is week to week. It is not like completely about the player. It's not like the player with the most tens is the technically best player of all time, right? Circumstance plays a lot into week to week ratings. Luck plays a lot into week to week ratings. So we may have given Cody the highest individual week score of all time, but when we go to rate him as an overall player, that's where he may be lower than other players.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the key, because I feel like the person looking in on it is like, okay, so he's ranked the highest out of anyone in the Stockwatch. Like, he's, you guys consider him the best player? And it's like, no, that's not necessarily it. Like, if we are going to do one of our, like, whatever player rankings that we do sometimes, you know, I don't think I would consider him the number one player of all time just because he was number one in the Stockwatch or number one player of the past few seasons or whatever. I just think that, like, if you look around and you see all the people, I mean, obviously he's doing something right. We all know that. But I do also think that part of what's playing into it is everyone around him kind of just being like, I want to protect Cody. I want to, you know, if people were playing, like, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like if he was on a different season and he was playing this exact same way, I don't necessarily think we would be ranking him this high, because I think that people might see through it and be like, okay, this guy's winning a ton. He's been in power for so long. Like, we have to get him out. So I don't know. I just think that he's not the best.
I think you're correct that with different people on the show, that he would not have such an easy ride. If there were more Kevins and Davons and less, you know, Nicoles and Dannys who were kissing his ass, then I think he would have a tougher time. But the fact of the matter is, he's played two seasons. The first season, literally no one came for him. They loved him on that season. And he got two votes at the end. That's against true. Derek, one of the greatest of all time. And then he's on this season and literally no one has come for him.
That's true. I mean, I don't want to, like, discredit Cody, but, like,
go ahead,
can we also point to the fact that, like, these people on this season know him, some of them know him prior to the season. Like, they have an existing relationship. Like, maybe if he was put on a season with just random people, he wouldn't have these same sort of relationships.
Melissa, are you trying to say that this was pregame?
Well, I do think that there are some prior relationships that are coming into play. But, you know, like, I mean, I do think Cody is a likable guy. I think that, like, you know, I can see why people gravitate towards him or maybe don't want to get him out. And then he kind of, like, makes his way into your, like, strategic alliance, you know. I can see why it happens. I think Cody is a likable person, but I do think that we can't necessarily look at his last season and look at this season and be like, well, look, he's done it twice, because I do think this season's a little different just because he had those relationships prior to the season.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, especially when we get to, like, when we do our, you know, wrap up podcast and we're ranking the players overall, I think a I think probably the biggest topic of conversation when it comes to Cody will be around the advantage he had with his pregame connections. That this was a good draw for him. Right. That, like, Nicole was a good draw. Enzo was a great draw. You know, even like players like Tyler who were willing to work with him, who, like, you know, Tyler was actually probably not a great draw for Cody, but the Tyler that we're seeing right now was Tyler from Big Brother 20 wasn't a great draw, but this Tyler, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, like, can you like imagine if Cody or Memphis wins the season and then we have to deal with, like, for the rest of time that, oh, Hitman was the greatest alliance. We produced two winners out of two people. And same with, like, Renegades was the best. And, like, they did it with Chilltown. And now they're going to do it again with this. And we'll never hear the end of it if we get a Memphis or a Cody win.
Best alliance is a silly concept anyway,
especially if they don't play on the same, like, season, I feel like. I mean, I guess Chilltown, it makes sense because they played on both seasons, kind of. But, like, this one, like, you don't even have the other person on the alliance on this season. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But yes, I'm sure, not to get too, you know, bogged down in the Cody talk, but I'm sure there's plenty of conversation to be had, about that, when we get to the end game. But for right now, you know, we're not ranking Cody on his, overall performance as a player in general, because, you know, we'd probably be doing the same ratings every week. If like, it's not often that we like change dramatically our perception of like, who a player is and like how good they are in general. Right. So we'd, you know, that's why we do week to week. We are trying to both judge them as players in terms of how much faith we have in them in this season, and also trying to predict how they are going to, perform in the season. Are they going to win? Are they going to lose? That's why somebody going out, like leaving the game, is often we get a very low rating. When otherwise they, you know, like somebody who is on their way out the door, we'll probably get a 2, maybe even a 1, but then the end of the season, we'll rate them as a player, might be a 5, could even be a 6, could even be higher. But it's just like they were definitely a goner in that week, and that's why we rated them lower. So something to keep in mind. But the audience gave Cody an 8. Again.
Now you're going to say give him a 10. I'm going to be like, man, wow.
The audience has never handed out a 10, correct?
No.
Oh, yeah. They have given 9s, okay. I believe, to Tyler.
To Tyler. I see it on the thing I just retweeted. Yeah.
Yes.
I retweeted the times that 10s have been awarded, and Cody was, yeah, as you said, the highest rated person ever.
This might be the closest. This might be, I'm not sure. Well, Christina, I'm sure we'll figure this out. But Cody, an 8.28, which is really close to a 9 in terms of how close people often get to 9s. So
yeah,
it's getting there. All right, next up is Danny, and I can tell you that the audience gave Danny a 4 this week, same as last week. I don't know that I agree with the audience here. In fact, I almost went down to a 2. I mean, looking at my percentages for Danny, I was like, 83%, if I'm right. Like, no, that's 2 territory. Yeah. But she's not on the block right now. And I wasn't ready to go all the way down to 2, so I stuck with my 3.
Well, I will tell you, I did go down to a 2.
I did
couldn't
too.
Believe it myself. I went down to a 2 for Danny because of the fact that you cannot tell me that she's not going to end up on the block sometime on Thursday night. She's going to end up on the block. And I think it is a tall task to win 2 separate competitions over a 2-hour period, whether it's, you know, HOH veto, veto HOH, HOH or veto, whatever, anything like that. That's like fan fiction.
I feel like the only way she doesn't go home is if she wins 2 competitions.
Yeah,
like, I feel like
2
that's
specific
really
ones. It can't even be
way.
HOH.
So that's
and
why
veto.
We're giving her a 2.
Yeah, like if she could win 2 competitions and still go home on Thursday, if they're not 2 of the right competitions. So
yeah,
that's really bad place to be.
It's not good. Yeah.
I mean, it's been done before. I mean, Ian was safe for like 6 rounds in a row. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
but I just feel like she's put herself in such a bad position that like
she deserves to pay for this.
Right. It's like this is just super. It's not good any way you slice it. And I feel like even after this week, it's not good.
Yeah. Melissa, the karma of the Big Brother universe is going to feed us. They are not going to give Danny the luck to be able to get out of the mess she has painted for herself here.
It's too bad because I really enjoy her in the diary room and I really am liking her as like a villain, like mastermind, if she actually was the mastermind. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the way she's painted herself in the diary room, like I'm loving it. It's unfortunate that it's not really accurate, but like, I like the character.
She's not the mastermind. She's the Igor. Okay. She's like the stupid assistant.
That's unfortunate.
I think the other thing hurting her is that she is now an outside. She's an underdog. This season punishes underdogs. So like, she's
right. Yeah, we never get what we want. Like, we're finally rooting for Danny. It's time for her to go. Off with her head.
All right. Next up is David. Melissa, how do you feel about David?
It's really tough because if this wasn't a triple eviction, I feel like I would feel a lot better about him just because I feel like, okay, the odds of him going up in a normal week like aren't as great as they have been. Like, I feel like he's kind of would fade into the background, but because it's a double eviction or a triple eviction, I feel like especially, like we said, if it's a Big Brother Canada style triple eviction, he's in danger and he might inadvertently be sent home, even though he's not the target, even though people aren't like, they're not fixating on David anymore, just because like he's by himself. What's he going to do? So it's tough because it sucks. I want to give him a better score. I feel like I've kind of been increasing his score week by week, but it just, this triple is really tripping me up. So I think like I'm just going to stay at a 4 for now, but if he survives this, I could see him getting a much better score next week. So.
Okay. Yeah. I went down to a 3. I also have been increasing David's score ever since we gave him a 1. I went up to a 2, then a 3, and then finally a 4 last week. But I'm going down to a 3 this week because of the looming triple eviction threat. I think there's a high chance, as Taryn talked about, that he could go or even be hit with a stray shot, depending how things go on Thursday night. And also, I'm still not convinced of his winner equity. That's the other thing I think I want to talk about is the fact that, combined with how uncertain his future is in the game, he still doesn't have anybody who's definitely working with him. And the fact that I still question whether or not he could actually win the game. So I went down to a 3. And it wasn't even a high 3, really.
I did stick with my 4 here, just because I'm personally feeling like it's not going to be a BB Can style. I feel like it's going to be a double-double. In that spot, he's a bit safer. If he survives to the final 6, he's in an okay spot. And if he wins one of these competitions, and he makes a big move, which is possible, like it might even just be forced out of him, like that could be big for him. Or he could, if he makes it to the final 6, at that point you've got real good odds to start winning HOHs, and I feel like that's what he needs to start building a resume. Yes, it doesn't look like he can win a jury right now, but if David is the guy that can't be evicted because he keeps winning, he knocks out everybody from the committee who thought they were running the game, that's the role that can win this game. I'm not down into 3, but I'm also, I wanted to give him a 5 this week. The reason I'm not is because this triple, it's just too likely that he does get hit in this triple eviction. So, but I think one of the more likely scenarios in this triple is that both Danny and Memphis go, and that's his perfect scenario. Like if he doesn't win an HOH, and Danny and Memphis are the two people that go home, and right, he competes at the final 6 against 4 other people, and Danny and Memphis, the two people gunning after him the most, are both gone. That's not a bad place to be for David.
That's a really lovely setup, but he has to get there first. If he gets there, and the game board is significantly changed from what we know of it right now, then I look forward to giving him 5s and possibly even a 6 if he can, put together any sort of a competition.
Yeah. The audience also at a 4 for David. All right. Let's move on to Enzo. Let's talk about Enzo. Now, I've been giving 9s to Enzo, and I've been telling him, you're on thin ice, Enzo. And he broke that ice because I don't know what he's doing. We talked about this already. I do not know what he's doing going after Memphis. Right. It's the wrong move. And if he succeeds at it, then he's diminishing his own odds of winning this game, in my opinion. It's very possible that both Memphis and Christmas could go in this triple, and that's terrible for him. Now he's stuck with Cody and Nicole still in this house together. That Danny is still in the house. That's not terrible, but even if it's Memphis and Danny, that's not bad. That's not great for him either. But it's especially not good if he loses Memphis and Christmas. He has to deal with Cody and Enzo. He's got Tyler still in the house. He's taking out all of the best people to take to the end, who are most loyal to him, for the harder people to beat in the end, who are less loyal to him. And I don't love it. It's a rough jury draw. Like, I think he's still one of the more likely people to win a jury vote. But again, this jury could go anywhere. And I feel like the best chance you have is to take people like Christmas and Memphis, who both want to be with you in the final 3. So it's Those are two of the easiest people. So I, despite all that, he's in a great spot. He's not going to go home in this triple. He's not going to go home at the final six either, probably. I expect to see Enzo in the end game, but he seems to actively be making his path harder than it needs to be. And so I went with an 8 overall.
I think that makes some people in the chat happy because I thought they were, I think they thought that you were going to go down to a 7 based on the way you were talking. Because as you are, I'm pretty put out with Enzo, and I didn't go down to a seven mainly because of his position in the house is so good. That's the thing. There's literally no scenario that you can present to me where he goes home in a triple eviction, which is crazy to me that he can't go home on Thursday night.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, like, position-wise, because like, his position is so good, I feel like it goes unsaid, but, like, it seems like I'm speaking so negatively because I'm like,
yeah,
you already know he's in an amazing position. Like, he's not going home anytime soon. That's where the rating comes from, and the nitpicks are why he's a little bit lower.
Yeah, I give him an 8 as well, so just FYI.
All right. The audience also gave Enzo an 8. Melissa, where are you?
Yeah, I mean, 8 for me as well. I think we basically covered it earlier, but I'm concerned about why he's trying to target these people who are supposed to be working with him. It just doesn't seem to make sense. But, you know, I think that the odds are he survives during this triple eviction and maybe, you know, things change. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Next up is Kevin. Brent, how do you feel about Kevin?
Oh, sorry. Even though I'm traveling this week, I did actually bring my paddle with me. So I made sure of it. Yay. It's a 1 for Kevin. I mean, talk about what could have been with Kevin, man. Like, you know, of the people who were the surprises on this season, I think Keisha and Kevin Campbell were the two big surprises that we were all like, whoa, like these are like the people that have been on the niche lists that we've been doing, you know, in our best of or, you know, please bring back these people lists on RHAP and beyond. Kevin Campbell was somebody that a lot of people had a lot of faith in, that we really wanted to see back. He's a great representation of what we love about Big Brother because he's a gamer and he obviously touches the LGBT field and the person of color field. And you just feel he's also just a really good person and you want to see him do well, but he has not done well. And he's certainly gotten used to being on the block and he has to recognize that this week is distinctly different than last week when people were telling him, you know, you're safe, don't worry, I got you, you're safe. No one is saying that to him this week, not in a way that's convincing at all. He has to recognize he's in trouble. I do agree with you, Taryn, that the fact that Dr. Will gave them this little hint about the possible fast forward slash triple did mean that it lit a fire underneath Kevin and he started working a little harder, but it doesn't seem like it's going to bear any fruit. If it, you know, obviously does, then I would move him up. Right now, he's almost, in fact, I don't even want to say almost. He is certain to go home on Thursday night. And I'm really bummed about what could have been with Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't go for the 1. I went with the 2 for Kevin.
How can you not go with the 1?
I feel like, especially because I think what clinched it for me was today, when the fire was lit under him, he talked with Nicole and Nicole went upstairs and she was like, can we please keep Kevin? Like he flipped Nicole. Like he's doing a good job. And he talked to Cody and Cody went upstairs and he was like, you know, Kevin's good at this game. Like, that was a great pitch. Like,
but do you
honestly,
think there's any chance
that's why he needs,
stay?
That's why, no, I'm saying that Cody was like, that's why he needs to go. But like, I tried to reserve ones for people that are just actively burying themselves who could be doing something that they're not. I feel like Kevin is making a decent enough effort, that he's not like the bottom of the barrel in terms of like what he's doing this week. He's been fighting hard all season long and he's just got nothing left.
Melissa, Taryn considers the 1 to be like the lowest form of shade. And he doesn't think that Kevin is worthy of that.
I generally feel like if you get a 1, it means like you've really done this to yourself. Like you really like, you know, you're believing obvious lies. You're, you know, actively tanking chances that you have with votes that you otherwise would have, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I see your point. I don't know. For me, it's like usually I try and give higher than a one to someone who is, there's like, I don't know. I feel like it's if I can say there's still a chance they might stay. Like there's still a chance, like they're not totally tanking their game and there's a chance they might stay. Like we don't know what's going to happen. They might stay. But with Kevin, I feel like we already know and we've already counted him out of this triple. So to me, it's like, even if he's now starting to, you know, maybe convince Nicole or make some moves or whatever, and he's maybe not playing it totally terribly, I feel like it doesn't matter and he's going anyway. Like, and if there's no chance that he could stay, then to me, it seems to be a one to me. So that, like, that's why I'm going to give him a one, not necessarily because I'm like, oh, Kevin is so terrible or anything like that. It's just that, like, if there's no chance for him to stay, then, you know.
Christina in the chat just said that Taryn has given a one 16 times compared to Brent's 40.
Well, it's interesting because it also works to the other extreme too. I think I have given a 10 five separate times at least that I'm seeing on the screen that I retweeted that shows the highest rated people. Taryn, I think, has only done it two different times to Cody and Tyler, and Melissa, apparently only once have you given out a 10?
Yeah, apparently.
First
I didn't
10.
Know I did that. I thought I gave a 10 to Tyler, so that's why I was more judicious with giving my 10 to Cody, and now I regret it, because I don't necessarily think he's playing.
You blew it on Cody? Come on.
Tyler. I know, it's like, it made me sad when I saw that, because I really thought that I, at one point, gave Tyler a 10. And so I was like, you know what? If I gave Tyler a 10, I'll give Cody a 10. And now I'm like, ugh.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel, I just like, I want something to differentiate. Like if they're doing one of the two things, then they get a 2. They have to be doing both. Cause otherwise then like, how do I separate, you know, a Kevin or just somebody who's just like, they're going home from like, this person's really bad. Like, right. Yeah, they're really going home.
Taryn, where did you find out that little stat?
Christina just said it in the chat. She
Cool. Might have, sorry, I didn't like, see that.
Or looked it up really quick.
I see it.
All right. So the audience went with a 4. Nope. Sorry.
What?
Sorry. Looking at the wrong one. A 2.
Okay. It's like, wait.
A 2.
I think the audience has faith in Kevin this week, apparently.
Yeah, a 2 for Kevin from the audience. All right, let's move on to Memphis. Melissa, how do you feel about Memphis?
I feel about the same with Memphis that I did last week. However, I do think it is concerning that Enzo is looking at him. I think that the fact that there is a chance, however slim or whatever, that he goes out in this triple is not great. But I just feel like, I'm like torn between, cause I gave him a 7 last week. So I'm torn between a 6 and a 7. I'm just going to stick with my 7. I'm just going to stick with my 7.
I think that's a fair score. It happens to be the same score I'm giving him, which is a 7.
So that's why it's fair.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, I do think that there are some scenarios where Memphis could go home, but I honestly, in my gut, I don't feel like he's going to go home on Thursday. I really, really don't. Maybe that's a little bit hoping, because I think of the people who are in the house, maybe besides Cody, I think that Memphis has probably played one of the better games. He's really made an effort at an end game. And, you know, while Tyler is sitting there dilly-dallying, not doing squat, and Memphis is actively trying to put some stuff together, even though Enzo is currently rejecting it. So it's a 7 for me, and I feel pretty good about it.
You guys have, I'm all over the place, I guess, with Memphis. I dropped Memphis down to a 5.
Wow.
I mean, look, again, when I did the math here, I see Memphis with a 33% chance to go home on Thursday. And that's not great by itself. But on top of that, last week when I gave him an 8, he had the wise guys locked in, seemingly. That I felt like, you know,
right.
Enzo's in to the wise guys. Memphis's only
seem like that.
Yeah. Memphis's only problem is that he can't take out Enzo He can't take Enzo to the final two. He needs to take Christmas, but that could easily be solved by just changing his mind by the end, or maybe Enzo goes out at some point and Memphis gets the end with Christmas somehow because it's, you know, he's there. Maybe Christmas wins and takes Memphis. He's still in a great spot. But Enzo is not locked in, and we found that out, and that is so bad for Memphis.
Okay, I'm with you on this. Can I stop you right here real quick, though? Okay, like, but the reason why I don't consider that to be the biggest deficiency in the world is because I don't think Enzo is going to win HOH. I don't think he wants to win HOH. I just don't see Enzo winning HOH and literally backstabbing Memphis and putting him on the block. I don't think that is within, I don't think that's within Enzo's vocabulary to do, Taryn.
I don't either. That's not the reason I think Memphis is likely to go home. I don't think I have any scenarios or very few scenarios where Enzo puts Memphis on the block.
I think he would vote against him if somebody else put him on the block.
Yes, that's where Memphis goes home. So I'm not counting on Enzo to take out Memphis in the triple. I'm looking at other people who are likely to do that. More importantly, even if he does survive the triple, Enzo wants nothing to do with Memphis. He doesn't want to bring him to the end. And so if Enzo wins at the final six, he's probably looking at taking out Memphis. Enzo very clearly prefers Tyler to Memphis, and he prefers Nicole to Memphis. He even seems to prefer Christmas to Memphis to some degree. And so I'm looking at, you know, Memphis just being a target of Enzo's, and being a target is fine, but like, if Tyler's in the game, he's going after Memphis. If Nicole's in the game, she's going after Memphis. If Enzo's in the game, he's probably going after Memphis. His end game is in ruins. He took a huge gamble with Enzo, trying to bring Enzo in, and Enzo ratted out the wise guys to Cody. Cody has ratted out both versions of the wise guys to Nicole. Nicole wants Memphis out. Like, this end game is in shambles, and even if he doesn't go home in the triple, Christmas probably will. And losing Christmas is real bad for Memphis, especially because Enzo doesn't want to work with him. So I think that this is really not looking good for Memphis. He's going to need the right combination of things to happen and some really clutch comp wins, in my opinion, to move forward. Because again, his entire game gambled on the maneuverings, and I think he made the right moves. I do. I think strategically he's got a great head for this game, and he made the right calls in the right places on a strategic level, but he chose the wrong person. Enzo isn't into it. Enzo should be into it. This should be working, but it's not. And because of that,
well, I can say that some people who obviously bought Memphis in the chat were not happy with your score. You can thank me and Melissa.
They're probably not going to be happy with the audience score either. It was close, but they went with a 6 for Memphis overall.
I just feel like I don't know. I don't see Memphis leaving in this triple. And so I do think he has the ability. Feel like I see him moving past this week and also doing well further than that. Like, and also if we are going to talk about he has to win some comps, like he has done that. I mean, he's had a history of doing that. So I do see it's not David or someone where we're we've never seen him win a comp, but hopefully he wins this week. Like Memphis has been winning a ton. So I do think that I have more faith that if he is put up on the block or whatever for this triple, that he wins a comp and saves himself, or that he wins HOH. Like, I just feel like I do see a situation where he moves forward and he, does well in the future. But yeah. I mean, we'll
that's see. Okay. Melissa, I've seen this before. I remember being on the podcast with Taryn and Sharifa, where Sharifa was like, I just don't feel it. I feel it in my gut. And Taryn was like, well, I can show you this. And then it ultimately, it's just a different way to look at the show. You and I are in agreement that we do not feel that there is a universe where Memphis is going to leave on Thursday night and that he has legs to make it to the end game. Taryn, on the other hand, he gave us a list of reasons why he doesn't feel that way. But that hasn't changed my mind, though. So I'm with you.
Well, so
Taryn's wait, let me change your mind now.
Just because you're saying you can't see the scenarios.
I can see it. I just like my there God are, says
there I just are, don't yeah. feel it.
There yeah. are two people who are gunning to evict Memphis in the triple eviction.
Yes.
Nicole and David. Both of them would put Memphis on the block if they won, and both of them have two chances to win. And in both scenarios, Memphis has a chance to go home. In the Nicole scenario, Memphis is going home unless he wins the veto. In the David scenario, Memphis will go home if Danny wins the veto. If Danny is already gone, then Memphis just straight up goes home, unless he wins the veto in the David scenario. So those are the biggest scenarios where Memphis goes home. Then there are scenarios where Enzo wins HOH in the second part, and maybe Danny's already gone, and maybe he puts up Memphis in Christmas or something like that. That's where those come from. I'm not like, you know, for the people, like, I'm not making those numbers up.
Yes. I said you had reasons. Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, I'm not discounting the reasons or the logic. I'm just, you know, two different ways to look at it. I guess here's the thing. I've been disappointed about the way things have gone on Big Brother this year. And usually, like, when if things go a certain way, they just keep going that way. And Memphis has had such a magic carpet ride this whole season. I feel like it's just going to continue for him, but maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on. Let's talk about Nicole Franzel.
Can we start with the audience?
Okay.
Because their audience
always
is always down on Franzel. I'm curious about what they say this time.
Well, last week the audience gave Nicole a 5.
Yes.
This week they gave her a 6.
Well, good job, audience.
Well, I'm confused because I don't feel as good about her.
Me neither.
Like, I feel like that is the one time I've been like,
Right. Okay, go ahead, Melissa. We all have stuff to say.
Yeah, I just feel like it's like she had Danny in her corner, essentially. Like, I mean, yes, obviously, like we said, there's the planting seeds and doing other stuff. But overall, I feel like Danny is someone who wouldn't turn on Nicole and put her on the block up front. Maybe she'd vote her out, maybe. But like, she's one person that she has on her side. And I feel like Nicole is kind of throwing that away. I feel like she's made some bad moves. And I'm not as confident in her right now. I mean, obviously, who knows what's going to happen? The triple's coming up, you know, next week, who knows? But I just feel like I don't feel as good about her positioning this week. And so I was a 6 last week. I think I feel like I have to go down to a 5. Like, I mean, maybe I'll just stick with my 6. I know people are like, well, don't you write this down beforehand? No, I'm an in the moment raider. So sorry. And that's why it's always hard when I go first, because I feel like one of my favorite things to do is have you guys give your two opposing arguments, usually opposing. And then I get to pick which one of them I agree with more and which one vibes with what I've been feeling. And then, you know, kind of go from there. But in this situation, I gave Memphis a 7. Sorry, guys. I'm like sitting here like,
I mean, we can go if you want arguments.
Yeah, all right, go ahead. Give me your arguments. Try and convince me.
Brent, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. I understand that she's definitely stepping on her toes by targeting Danny, being okay with Danny going. But honestly, I feel like Danny is so radioactive at this point that it's probably in Nicole's best interest not to fight that at all. So I don't really particularly feel like that's a terrible move on her part. Now, if she gets lucky and Danny stays in the house, all the better. Add to that the fact that I do feel like that people are looking at her as potential to take at least to the final 4. And though she hasn't had good luck with the competition so far, I still feel like she's got it in her to win one of these down the stretch here, especially when they tend to favor people more like her. Hopefully they're not that physical. I gave her, what did I give her last time? I gave her a 7 last time. I'm going to stick with my 7. I feel like Franzel's got it in her to make a run at this, and I don't see her leaving on Thursday. I know there are a few scenarios, maybe, that she could end up on the block and possibly something could go horribly wrong, but you know, no one's really coming for her. Everyone else has other targets in mind, like Memphis or Christmas or Danny or David. No one's really coming for Franzel. And she's got Cody in her corner big time. Mm-hmm. He's been the kingmaker in this season.
That's true.
Yes, I'm not quite a seven. I am dropping her from the seven down to a six. And the reason for that is that there are Tyler and Christmas in particular. They want Danny out first, but we talked about it. Danny's very likely to go on Thursday. And as soon as she does, Christmas and Tyler are both gunning for Nicole next. Nicole is the next big target for them. That's not good for Nicole, especially because with Danny gone, Nicole has basically nobody except for Cody. Now, the one thing that Nicole has in her favor that Memphis now doesn't is that Enzo seems to be team Nicole, that he is putting his eggs in the Cody and Nicole basket instead of the Christmas and Memphis basket. And that's good for Nicole. But beyond, Enzo's not willing to stick his neck out to protect Nicole. Tyler was just talking to Enzo about, like, Nicole has to go. It has to be both Danny and Nicole. And they were talking about the triple. They were talking about, like, this week, let's get Kevin, Danny, Nicole, all three of them gone. And Enzo was like, that's what I'm saying, yo. That's it. So he is not going to stick his neck out to protect Nicole, but I don't think he'll go after Nicole, which is important. So that's okay there. But like just her end game in general, without Danny, she has very few people left. She's completely lost Christmas. She doesn't have Tyler. She doesn't have Memphis. She definitely doesn't have David. I think David will go after Nicole, too. So that's where the danger is. She's higher than Christmas in Memphis because she's less likely to go in the triple and she's less likely to go after the triple. She's more likely to squeeze into the end game somewhere where she may be able to pull off what she was able to do in Big Brother 18, but not that much higher because she's still fairly likely to go and she still has a pretty tough path to the end, especially with like who she's going to be sitting next to in the final two. So that's where I'm at with Nicole. Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you guys, but I'm tempted to go to the five just because I do think Danny's going out this week. And I think that is bad for Nicole. I think number one, she loses an ally. And number two, like you said, I think that she's next in line for some people. So I am a little concerned about that. I know she's got Cody, but Cody's got so many other people that Nicole doesn't really have. I mean, yes, tangentially or whatever, people are like, I'm not going to go after Nicole or whatever, but she doesn't have anyone. And for the longest time, I did think that she had Danny. And now I'm like, okay, number one, maybe she doesn't have Danny. And number two, Danny's probably going anyway. So like, you know, what does that leave her with? So I'm going to give her a five. Hopefully she can pick it up next week.
There you go. Finally, let's talk about Tyler. Brent, you can go first with Tyler.
All right. So I gave Tyler a seven last week, and I was between a five and a six this week. And I will tell you the reason why, because he, as I alluded to earlier on the podcast, he has been so laissez-faire, or as RuPaul's Drag Race would say, flazeda, about his endgame possibilities here. He's absolutely doing nothing. I'm still so bummed that he apparently learned the wrong lesson from Big Brother 20 in that he didn't want to make too many final two deals with people. And that wasn't his problem on Big Brother 20. It really wasn't. And again, he only lost by one vote. Like, come on. Like, it wasn't like it was like a massive mistake. And he's done none of that this time. I don't think there's one person besides Christmas, but she is repelled from him because of his apparent quit during the Bailey week, that was thinking about or was under the impression that they were going to the final two with Tyler. Cody doesn't think that Tyler's going to take him to the final two. Enzo doesn't think Tyler's going to take him to the final two. These people are, if they're not coming for him now, they're going to be coming for him soon. He hasn't done anything. Now, he could turn it on, but the guy that I've seen over the past 3 weeks is just not the guy that I saw 2 years ago and was literally impressed by and gave multiple tens to. So man, like I had to go with a five in the end. And I really can't believe I'm giving Tyler a five, but he's just so non-responsive to the immediate goals that need to be in front of him.
It just seems like he doesn't really care at all. Which, you know, that sometimes happens, but I feel like we've been saying for the longest time, like, okay, maybe Tyler will turn it on. Like, maybe next week he'll like pick it up and he'll figure it out. But I just feel like, if he were to turn it on, he could do amazing. And we saw him in his last season. It was amazing. But I feel like this season he's kind of lost interest and kind of just doesn't really want to deal with it. So, I don't know. Well, I don't see the end game for him, but you know, maybe he'll come up with something after this week. I don't see him leaving in the triple necessarily. So maybe he'll pick it up. But at this point, I'm going to have to change my 7 to a 6.
All right. I also went with a 6 for Tyler. And I also considered a 5 this week, Brent, that I know I was a 6 last week. And I keep saying that, like, he's running out of runway, that he needs to start to pick things up. And I kind of feel like this week he did start to move. But it was just enough to like maintain the 6. Like, for me, if he stays put, his rating is going to slowly go down because he's running out of room. And this week was like, you know, the ground is falling out from behind him, and he's just been sitting there in a car as the ground falls out behind him. And then he looked back and he's like, oh, look, it's coming at me. All right, well, I'll start the car. I'll start moving. And he's like barely keeping out in front of it right now. And those things are, he seems to have won David back over. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good for him. He's losing Christmas, but he hasn't like completely lost Christmas. And if Memphis goes in the triple, which is fairly likely, he'll really have Christmas. So that's good. So those are two things. He still has Enzo not wanting to go after him yet. He seemingly had Danny going after Christmas instead of him. Not sure if that's still the case, but it's what I've got right now. So with all that said, he's just out in front of it right now. He's still alive. He's still honestly one of the more likely winners after Cody and Enzo, but he will need to keep playing hard. I think his ideal scenario is Memphis leaves in the triple, Danny leaves in the triple, and now he's able to pull in Christmas to go after Nicole. He's able to pull in David to go after Nicole. They both put up Nicole and Cody. And like, if he locks in those three at the final 6, like, that's a pretty good place to be. And that's not an unreasonable scenario. In fact, that's one of the more likely scenarios. It's just a matter of, can he maintain that position? Can he really keep David? Can he really keep Christmas? And can he win? Can that team win the competitions needed to face off against the Cody, Enzo, and Nicole team? And I think it's possible. I think it's there. I see a path. But he's got to start playing to get there, and he's got to have the right triple outcome to get there. And so, we'll see. 6 from me. The audience feel good about Tyler. They feel better about Tyler than we do. They gave him a 7.
Spence, I feel like the audience won't really go below a 7 for Tyler. Have they ever?
I'm not sure if they have.
Christina, check it out.
I've got report everything. Back. Tyler, he did get a 6 in 1 week, and he got a 5.
Wow.
From the audience okay. In 1 week.
All right.
Yeah. That was the week that... What was happening that week? That was the week,
probably the week he tried to quit.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought you were talking about the season before. When we were like, okay, yeah. I thought you were talking about the overall history of Tyler.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Oops, I'm still... There we go. So there it is. That's the stock watch for the week. That's what we have for you. We'll see where the leaderboard goes. But in the meantime,
I forgot what I bought, by the way. I have no clue.
I know, I forgot too.
Well, we'll find out. I didn't forget.
Right? I feel like I bought Christmas. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be a good week for me. But that's
no,
fine.
It's not a good week for
you. Always say that.
No, this one really. I lost money this week. Lost money this week.
Did anybody's rating go up? It looks like no.
No.
So it looks like everyone went down.
Everyone, say the
nobody went up.
Down.
Yeah,
nobody went up.
Some people stayed the same though.
Yeah, like Cody, for instance, got a 9 from us, and he got a 10 last week. He'll still make money in the stock watch, right? Because we're rating them from 1 to 10, and it goes into a formula based on what their rating was last week and what their price was last week. Cody will still make money. He's just not going to make as much money as he would have if he had maintained his 10.
Oh yeah, so it looks like Cody and Nicole both made money this week, but everybody else lost money. So
that's what happens when a triple comes.
Yeah, seriously.
This is going to be a rough week, too, with trying to guess the triple stuff.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well,
everyone's just going to buy Cody.
We'll see. We'll see.
I thought about buying Cody.
All right. Here's the leaderboard has been updated.
Ooh, yay.
Liv back in first place.
Wow.
Yay, with a Nicole
Liv
buy.
Good. Liv is always.
And where have I gone?
No. Oh, no. Taryn, you're gone.
Let's
scroll down here.
Slowly scroll through every single one until it gets to like the thousands.
No, I'm not that
bad.
Oh,
there we go. Okay.
41st place. 41st place here.
Yikes. That's a drop, Taryn.
Yes. I went up like 400 places.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. I went in on Christmas. It was not the right call.
I think I went in on Christmas too. Or not all in, but I think I put some on Christmas.
Yeah. As you do. Yeah.
There's Taylor Allen, the third placer in Big Brother 21. Just under.
I purchased Nicole stock, and I have $661, and I am ranked 685 right now. And I'm in the top 25%.
Top 25% from Nicole. That was the best buy this week.
That was good job. You're probably higher than me now because I don't think I did so well this week.
Melissa, still above Brent in the top 10%.
Good job.
Yeah. Wait, what did I do? I did buy Christmas.
Let's see here. This week, you...
You bought Tyler, Enzo, and
I gave up
Christmas.
Nicole.
You bought one Tyler, you sold Nicole, and you bought Christmas.
Ugh, what an idiot.
But your holdings on Tyler and Enzo are keeping you in it.
Thank God.
So there you go.
I
sold Nicole, and that was like I gotta get rid of these little stocks, and turns out that's what I should have kept.
I guess that was it.
Anytime I try and do anything creative, this is what happens. I should just leave it, set it and forget it. That's my stock watch advice. If you want to get in the top like 600 people, that's what you have to do, is just do nothing. Mm. If you want to get in the top 1%, like I can't help you with that. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, well, we'll see where I go from here. A brief glimpse of the sun there for me. All right. So that is the stock watch. Let's talk through some of the other questions on the survey. How do you rate the feeds the episodes this week? Last week it was a 5.1. This week a 4.9. People are not super happy. How do you rate the feeds this week? Last week was a 4.3. This week a 3.5.
Ooh, is that the lowest it's ever been?
Might be.
That sounds pretty low.
Yeah. Last week, the season as a whole was a 4.6. This week it's a 4.5. So not too much there.
Still
I asked you
hanging in there.
Rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Not going to be too many surprises here. But you've got Enzo on top, followed closely by Tyler. Who do we think is in third?
Oh, sorry.
David?
Yes.
David is correct.
That's a great call. Wow. Yeah.
David, who was sixth last week.
The longer he stays, the higher he'll
take. I think Rob has it right. Like, by the end of this, we're going to be praying for a David win or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's like, if David can survive these next few weeks, I feel like people are going to be... I mean, it's the whole underdog thing. I mean, even if he wasn't doing well the whole beginning half of the season, I think that if he's the one remaining underdog and he's the one remaining outsider, I just feel like everyone's going to want to root for him to do something and, do well. So that's what it looks like, unless he goes out this week. Who knows?
So how's this for interesting, right? This is week 8. Week 5, David was third to last, above only Nicole and Christmas.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Week 6, he was fourth to last, only above Memphis, Nicole, and Christmas. Week 7, He was fifth to last above Danny Memphis, Nicole, and Christmas. And then this week, he jumped over Kevin and Cody to get to third place overall.
Wow.
So he's been slowly climbing the ranks over the last few weeks.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Soon he'll be number one.
Cody is there after David, followed by Danny, then Kevin, Memphis, Nicole, and Christmas at the bottom. I asked strategically, who should Cody have targeted this week? Well, everyone said Kevin. And by everyone, I mean 55% of the people.
Right.
I mean, what else is he going to do, really?
Yeah.
Christmas was in second place, 17%. Not sure I completely agree with that, but yeah, I think Kevin was the right call. How do you feel about the replay power? Scored 35 out of 100.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm honestly, lame. I'm surprised it got that high.
I couldn't even believe that either.
I mean, maybe it got that high just because they were like, it didn't really do anything.
That's
so it's
true.
Fine.
Yeah, Taryn, these are your voters.
Yeah.
Remember that. Yeah.
Well, we'll question that when we get to the third of these.
Okay.
How do you feel about the prizes twist? 63 out of 100.
Well,
I actually really liked it.
I like the prizes twist, but I wish, and I know you guys have been over this, but and everyone's talked about this ad nauseum, but I wish it was the graveyard one, mm-hmm. where, you know, you have the option to pick the prizes, take the prizes, don't take the prizes. People aren't seeing what you're doing. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like the way that things panned out, and especially like the HOH, which we've already seen, you know, and we're going to see the veto, but like, the HOH was so lame, and I hate those golf ones. They're just so boring to watch. Like, it's just like, there's no anything to it. It's like, I don't like to play mini golf on my own, and I definitely don't like to watch people do it.
I like the mini golf.
I don't know. It's not for me. Maybe you're just into golf. I'm not into golf. So it just doesn't interest me at all. And then the fact that there was just like a prize available was kind of just like, I don't know. I guess I like the idea that they had the option to pick going for the prize or going.
I love
for
that part.
Yeah. Like, I do yeah. like that, but
and especially
I do
during
feel
the
like,
veto too for David yeah. to go for the 10,000. I love the fact we didn't even talk about this. I just love the fact that he totally bamboozled Enzo and just went straight for the 10,000 right on the first one. Enzo was like I was expecting him to like go, and then like once he was out, then I could have gone for the $10,000. Like once the two nominees were out, then I could have gone for it. David said, "Fuck that, I'm going for it now."
You just great. Know that Enzo is just like $20,000 I could have had this week,
right?
Man, that's so crazy. But yeah, I mean, I do like this sort of twist because I do feel like it influences the game. But not in a way, not in like a bad way. I feel like if anything, like it shows people like, okay, what do you really want? Like, do you care about the game, or like, do you feel like you're in a good enough position to go for a prize versus winning HOH? And I do feel like it benefits the people who are in the minority or in trouble or whatever, because they're not going to go for a prize. Well, except for David, but normally they're not going to go for a prize, and they're going to have more ability to win versus a normal week. So I do like it overall. If we're going to talk about twists, like this is an interesting one, and I do think that it's fun. I really do like the graveyard style competition. So I do wish that was included, but you know, whatever.
All right. I asked, how do you feel about the looming triple eviction? And this is where my voters apparently betrayed me.
They betrayed you.
They're so fed up with the season, Taryn.
58 out of 100, which is still a failing grade, but it's above 50. And that disappoints me, audience.
Look, I think if this was on any other season where I think people were really like enjoying the gameplay or enjoying the people or whatever it was, I think we would see less people enthused about a triple eviction. But I think in this situation, when people are kind of like, let's get more people out so we can see more fun stuff. Like, I just feel like that's probably reasoning behind it.
Melissa, you know what it is, obviously. Paid shills.
Oh,
CBS
yeah,
is
definitely.
Paying this audience to give a better score to their triple eviction. Their opinion doesn't matter because it's obviously paid for.
CBS is like, okay, guys, we cannot have a bad rating on Taryn's poll. It just cannot happen. So, you know, they had to hire a bunch of interns.
All right. Who do you want to be evicted this week? 72% say Kevin. Not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do you want to win HOH next week? David with 35%. Followed by Tyler with 28%. Only 7% said Christmas. And well, next week is not the optimal time for Christmas to win. Like I said, I do see Christmas as the only person who could theoretically take out Cody. I'm actually like, I wouldn't mind seeing a Christmas win. Rank the players. So we're finally doing the jury stuff. I forgot to do this last week with Ian. But every week I'm going to ask you guys to rank the order in which you think each jury member is most likely to vote for somebody in the final two to the least likely person they're going to vote for. So that means that the person you put at number one is the person who the jury member will vote for no matter who they sit next to. The person at number two is the person they will vote for no matter who they sit next to, unless it's the person from number one, and so on and so forth. So I asked about Ian. Who is Ian most likely to vote for in the final two? What do you guys think, and what do you think the audience thinks?
I think that he is most likely to vote for Nicole if she's actually at the end. But I think Tyler is probably a close second because he was warning people, hey, this guy's really good. You know, and like, it'll be the ultimate form of, you know, told ya if he actually votes for him to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Now, the audience says Nicole number one, followed extremely closely by Cody number two.
Interesting.
Followed extremely closely by Tyler, number three. Yeah. That basically the three of those are a toss up. And not, I think that's fair.
I think I'm not totally convinced of the Cody thing. Ian has shown no animosity toward Cody, in my view, but. Oh, sorry, were you going to say something, Terry?
Well, he's really talked him up in the exit press.
I haven't read as many as those. I still think he would vote for the other two people over Cody. But we'll see.
I think it's possible. I do think that Cody is definitely up there with a shot. I would probably say, like, I don't even know. I think Tyler, Nicole, Cody, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah. Depends on how Nicole handles it and how, like, what Devon is saying. So I don't know. Then the audience said Enzo, followed by Danny, then Memphis, Christmas, David, and Kevin. I think David and Kevin probably in the right spot there. As of right now, just because of the way that he talked about the inferior players being the ones to take him out, that he did not respect their games. And he was so happy that it wasn't the inferior players that took him out, that it was the good players. It doesn't seem super likely that he's going to vote for them, unless he's like super bitter, which is also a possibility. Christmas being low. He said he was disappointed. He was a little bit bitter at Christmas. He did not like how she handled that conversation. Memphis being lower than Danny. I'm not sure about this one. He actually said he talked a lot about how he appreciated Memphis being straight up with him. Memphis said he was, look, dude, you're smarter than me. That's why you need to go. I'm not sure that Memphis should be this low, maybe a little bit above Danny. Not sure about Enzo. I don't know how Ian feels about Enzo. So, I'd be inclined to put Memphis above even Enzo, but who knows? Maybe he doesn't want to reward, you know, the other Renegades member. Anyway, Devon. Devon's number one, easy. It's Kevin.
Yes.
Followed by David.
Followed by David. Yes.
Easy. Followed by Danny. Says the audience. I think that's pretty fair based on what we're hearing, that she doesn't really know the extent to which Danny like really screwed her over. She may find out, but as of right now, I think that's fair. Then Enzo, which I think is also pretty fair.
Yeah.
Then Cody. Then Memphis. I mean, again, I think Memphis was one of the more straight up people with her, and she said that was important. So again, that might do some good things for her. Christmas, pretty low. I agree with that. Nicole tied with Christmas, actually, down here at the bottom.
Yeah.
I think she would probably do Nicole at Christmas, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then Tyler at the very bottom, which I think is possible, but I could also see Tyler toward the top.
Yeah, it's hard to say because I feel like there's so much time too in between now and then. And also other people are going to be coming out and explaining things to other people and saying like, okay, well, this is what really went down or whatever. So I think that this could be accurate for now, but I think anything could change by the time finale comes around.
Yep. And that's what we got. That's what we got for you.
Nice.
Those are the questions.
By the way, when I heard that what Enzo was doing with, possibly targeting Memphis, I was like, you know what? We need to get Hoffman on here. Hoffman will tell us what the hell Enzo is doing because I have no clue. Like, it's literally one of the most cornball what the F moves that I have watched recently, mainly because I think so highly of Enzo and what he's done this season on Big Brother. But my God, if he goes through with that.
I mean, thinking about it, like taking out Matt in season 12 was like great move for Hayden. Wasn't that good for Enzo. But like Enzo kind of like got talked into it because he's like, yeah, big move, let's do this.
I just don't want so many of these people I feel like are going to repeat their performance from their first game. Like, I literally think Danny is going to end up in eighth place again after this season, and I don't want Enzo to end up in third place. I really don't. I don't want him because like, and he's possibly going to go after somebody in Memphis who will take him to the final two, and Memphis could win at the end and take Enzo to the final two. Not that Enzo is not capable of doing it himself. Obviously he is this season, but you know, it's always nice to have, you know, a backup plan or there, here or there,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
So we'll see. Yeah.
All right. Well, any final thoughts, Melissa?
I'm very excited for this triple eviction. It's going to be definitely an interesting night of television. We'll see, you know, if it makes for interesting week next week, but for now at least I'm looking forward to it. And also something else to consider that we didn't bring up was the OTEP curse. So, something that we need to think about when thinking about Cody's likelihood to win.
Cody should have been a three this week.
Yeah. We should have all just been like, oh well, this guy's not
it's
winning.
Done.
It's over. He's a one. He gets the paddle. No, but for real, I'm very excited for this Thursday episode. We'll see how it goes.
I can tell you that I'm really thankful for the LFC roundtable being a little bit earlier tonight and going over, because we were early because of the presidential debates, because a lot of my friends were literally like texting me during this wedding the bed for like the first half hour of the debate. And now everybody seems to have calmed down a little bit now that we're winding down here. So this is perfect for me, Taryn.
It's exactly how I planned it.
Yeah, I like it.
It's intentional.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today and tonight on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. We will also be live tomorrow night with a recap of the veto episode of Big Brother 22, where we will see the OTEV happen. We'll see David take that 10K. Can't wait to see that. And then Thursday, I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to talk more about the stock watch and how you can lose a bunch of money going in on Christmas. And I'll also be streaming live during the triple eviction to watch with you guys and hang out and chat about what's going on. And then we'll be live after the triple eviction to recap what's been going down and what happens. So check it all out. Brent, where can people find you?
They can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, if you still got it, whatever, you know. I'm One Lucky Gay across all platforms.
I hate when I ask people where people can find them. But sometimes I forget and do that during this podcast, and then I get sad because I don't get to go. And you can find It's Melissa. You can find Melissa at It's Melissa with three A's.
Yes.
Three of them.
I'd also have a plug.
Well, there you go.
This Saturday, I'm going to be doing a podcast with Liana and Lita and who else is that?
Yeah, I heard about
women
this.
Of RHAP essentially is what it is. It's going to be talking about gender and reality TV. And we're also going to be doing a text banking thing where we tell people to vote, and it should be fun. It's like going to be more low key, more Zoom-y instead of just like, you know, us talking at people. Hopefully people will be able to like come in, chat with us, etc. Maybe bring up some points or different examples of like women in TV. And, you know, I'm very interested to talk about Nicole specifically, and, you know, whether women can be considered like masterminds, because I do feel like that's something that we always end up kind of discussing. So, and also why the Women's Alliance can't work.
Right.
Why can't it work?
Melissa, I'm curious, while we're on that point, has your overall opinion of Franzel changed this season for the better? Because mine certainly has. I'm actually more positive on her, having like really watched her, because I was in and out a little bit sometimes with the feeds on 18, and this one, like, I've watched every moment, and like, she's good, man. She's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I am more impressed with her because I do feel like, at least at the time, I wasn't that impressed with her in Big Brother 16. And then Big Brother 18.
I meant 16, by the way. I meant 16, but go ahead. Yes. Yeah,
well, yeah,
ahead.
I wasn't very impressed with her in Big Brother 16. And then Big Brother 18, I was like, well, she's not doing anything. Like, she's just getting dragged along. She's not actually doing anything. So I'm not impressed with this. But I mean, she's doing it again. And I feel like she is doing things. Like, I feel like I can see that she has this strategy, and it's not one that I ever thought that she was doing for. Like, I thought it was all unintentional, but I do think there is intentionality behind all of her moves and all of her decisions. And so while she won't own it yet, like while she won't go in the DR and be like, look, this is what I'm doing and this is why. And I'm like, I want her to be like more like Danny in the DR.
Yeah. We all do.
That's not necessarily happening, but I will say that I am very much respecting her game way more.
Dude, it's the intention. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. People always sort of like, I watch the feeds in 18, obviously. And, but you like, you know, as time goes on, you sort of forget part of it. And then it's like, people always talk about the fact that she was just in bed with Corey the entire time, or, you know, whatever, which true in parts of it, but not all true. And, but I don't remember as much intention as I see from her this time, where like things that she wants to happen for better, for worse, you know, some of the thing like getting rid of Ian, obviously I disagreed with that, but I understood where she was coming from, because, you know, Danny wasn't going to support it, and what could she do? But overall, I'm really impressed with her game this time.
Yeah. And you can find the sign up for the podcast on my Twitter. I'll retweet it again, cause I tweeted it out, but you can also find it, at the other girls' Twitters as well. Lita, Liana, Mari, and Chantel Francis. I always say Chan Fran on the thing. So I always want to say Chan Fran or Chan Fran. Like, I just can't say it any other way, just because I always see it on Twitter.
Chan Fran. Yeah.
And so I was going to say that earlier, and I was like, that's not right. So I'm not going to say it. But anyway. So I'll retweet that. Sign up. It should be really fun and also interesting. So, you know, it's this Saturday.
There you go. And if you want to find that tweet, you can find it at It's Melissa with three A's.
Yeah.
Just three.
Just three.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. See you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.